We, as I said, we've been going through our Christmas carols for the past several weeks and looking at the history behind a lot of them, and going to leave that today and look at, sort of tie together the rest of Christmas. And we've talked about baby in the manger, we've talked about the angels, we talk about the shepherds, we talk about all these different things, but in the day and age in which we're living, when you talk about Christmas, most people think about presents, you know, receiving gifts and different things like this. You talk to any of the small children, you say, what's Christmas all about? Very unlikely you're going to say the birth of Jesus. Even though they know the story and everything else, it's presents and gifts and different things like that. So we're just going to touch on that a bit this morning, what the Bible says about giving. And Jesus himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we're going to look at that this morning. I should have welcomed everybody here first. I probably did it backwards this morning. But anyway, we'd like to welcome each one that's here today. And as you can see, a lot of our congregation, over half of them are away on visiting family and different things, different places. And a number of them are not well. They're sick. We've got a couple that's in the hospital, different things and going on and different things like that. So our prayers are with them today, and we'll have prayer for them a little later on as we finish up the service this morning. But just to give you an update on Sister Frances Martin. As you know, she fell Tuesday and broke her hip, and they took her in and did surgery right away in Belleville. And she came through it okay, but the next morning she was really, really bad. They called the family in. I've been there, I guess, 6, 7, 8 times this week, running back and forth to the hospital in Belleville, and they got her moved into Kingston, or in Napanee now. And she's starting to come around and do good. Last night I dropped in to see her after we got back from Orangeville. We went up to see our daughter, and on the way back we dropped in. And she's alert and talking, which she haven't been doing since Tuesday. And she just had a bit of a fever last night. They were trying to get that under control. But anyway, she's doing a lot better. And so keep praying for her and encourage, you know, to lift her up before the Lord in prayer, just to keep that in mind. And there's a number of different things. We get into the prayer request at the end of service anyway. But anyway, we're going to look at this, the Word of God this morning, and look at a couple of thoughts concerning giving. And there's no other time of the season, when giving is so prominent as it is at Christmas time. We give it birthdays and anniversaries and baby showers and all these different things, but Christmas, you know, just tops everything. And they say many merchants, Christmas either makes or breaks them for the year, and sits up, you know, their sales and everything else. So Christmas is a very important time of the year for merchants, obviously, but ought to be for the Christian as well. And we should understand what the Bible says about giving. And a lot of times when the pastor gets up and starts talking about giving, everybody starts getting nervous. So don't get nervous. We're not going to take any extra offering this morning. We're not going to do anything like that. So just relax and just take a deep breath. Everything's under control. You're not going to be hurt. Okay? If I knew Bob was going to be here this morning, Brother Bob. Bob is an excellent speaker, excellent preacher, and brother, if I knew you were coming, I'd be sitting down listening to you now. But anyway, we'll get you again, I'm sure. The Bible says in John 3:16, which is a very familiar passage, which I'm sure we all learned from childhood. If you haven't, you should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we talk about giving, when we think about Christmas or anything else, we ought to know that it's because God was the first giver. He gave his Son. And before we look any further into the Word of God this morning, let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look at it this morning. Father, we're so thankful today for the privilege of being able to come into your house. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the year, when we celebrate the birth of your Son. And now, Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. And Lord, may we see something in this that we can apply to our lives, that we can live by. And Lord, as we live by your Word, Father, we believe that we'll prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. So, Father, we just give you the praise. Just minister to each one that's here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God gave us everything, gave us his everything. He could have given an angel. He could have done whatever. But God gave us His Son, the very best that He had in heaven. God gave us His Son. Now, we're going to look at some different scriptures this morning, but when Jesus was on the earth, and you know He was here for 32, 33 years before He was crucified, went around preaching, and this is one of the things that Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet," now this is some of the old English, and I'll get into this in a second, "for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now what Jesus is saying there's a principle in God's Word. And God put this principle in the universe and on the earth and on the planet and everything else. If you plant something, something is going to grow. And it depends on what kind of soil you put it in and all these different things. This is why when we talk about giving into the Lord's work, put it into some place where there's good soil, where work is being done for the Lord. It's not just being wasted. It's, you know, the money or whatever the case might be is used for God's work. That's good soil. And when you do that, God will bless you back. Now, Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Whatever you cause to happen for someone else is God to cause to happen for you. If you bless someone, God will cause a blessing to come back to you. This is what this verse is saying. He said, "You'll get it," and He says, "a good measure, pressed down and shaken together." Now, I've used this illustration a number of times, and every time I read the scripture, even today, I still think of it. When we were children, burlap sacks, you know what I'm talking about? You know, now, back in Newfoundland, we call them Bryn Bags. I don't know where that came from, but we just call them Bryn Bags. But anyway, I can remember one time my wife's father was building a pump house, for water from a well way off out across. And the house was outside of his house. It was just a square, you know, probably 12 by 12 or 8 by 8 or whatever. And he built it around, and he built another wall inside of it. But between the two walls, it was about 2 feet all around. He filled with sawdust. And that was a common thing, is that people would do it, you know, keep away from the frost and everything in the wintertime. And I can remember myself and her brother Dave and Doug and different ones. And we went up to a sawmill and got the sawdust. And we used to fill up those Bryn Bags, you know, those burlap bags. We'd fill those up and bring them down. But by the time you get halfway down the road, carrying them in the wheelbarrow, going over the bumps and everything else in the wheelbarrow, you know, the sawdust would settle down the bags. You get down there, you get about a half bag of sawdust. You know what I'm talking about? You know? And so what we used to do, we used to get up there and we'd fill it up, and a couple of us hold the bag, and the other fellow would put his hands on the other fellow's shoulders, and he'd get in the bag and start jumping, driving the sawdust down. And we filled the bags right to the brim, you know, and bring them down. And every time I read this here, where God says, Jesus said here, He said, "It'd be given back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and still overflowing." You know, I mean, that's a good, you know, you get the good return here. You get the good refill. And so this is what, you know, Jesus was saying. He says, "Shall men give into your bosom?" He said, "For with the same measure that ye meet," and as I said, that's old English from the King James, but he says, with the same standards or same way that you bless others, that will come back to you again in the same standard, the same way. So if you're generous with others, God will be generous to you, and He'll bring things back into your life. I've proven this, and I know we all have. You give something, God is guaranteed to bring the same thing back into your life in a greater measure. I mean, a farmer goes out and plants a crop, and you put a potato seed in the ground, he's not expecting to get one potato back. He's expecting to get, you know, a stock with a dozen potatoes or a half a dozen potatoes, whatever. There's always, when it comes back, it all is always more than what it was when you planted it. If not, we'd be in an awful mess in the world. It's got to come back in a greater abundance. And that's a principle that God has put into the world. Anyway, I didn't mean to spend all that time on there. Paul was speaking here in the book of Acts. He said, "I've shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said," and this is where we got the title for the message today, "it is more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed, more happy, more exciting to be able to give something than it is to receive something. Now, we all love to receive. How many of you enjoyed receiving Christmas gifts? Right? That's just something that's built into us. We love to receive. I do. But I tell you something even better, and I think it's something we ought to work towards in our own mentality and our own thinking and everything else, is to be more excited to be able to give something. This is what Jesus said. It's more blessed, more exciting, more beneficial to be able to give something than it is to get something. Now, let's go on and look at a few things. There's two important principles when you talk about giving in God's Word. Number one, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly or little. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. He says, remember this, the one who plants a few seeds will have a small harvest. I mean, that's not, you don't need a rocket scientist brain to figure that one out. You plant a few seeds, you're going to get a small harvest. He said, but the one who plants a lot will receive a big harvest. Now, this is from the ERV version of the scriptures. It's the easy reading version. In other words, it brings it down to common, plain language. If you plant a lot, you get a lot. If you plant little, you get little. It's the same thing in the natural as it is in the spiritual. Now, also, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. He said, a man may give freely, and still his wealth will be increased. If you give, the Bible says, a liberal soul will be fat. I didn't mean to say Christmas fat. Whatever. He's talking about he's going to be blessed. Somebody that's liberal, somebody that's generous in their giving. And so he's saying here, a man may give freely, and still his wealth will be increased. You see, the world says, if you give it away, you're not going to have anything for yourself. God says, no, that's the way the world thinks. You know, and I preach here a number of times, God does stuff backwards. Opposite in the way we would think about doing things. You know, God says, if you want to get ahead, you got to help somebody else out first. You know, if you're trying to get something in your own life, give that thing away to someone else. And every time you give something, God will bless it in greater abundance. Now, so he says, a man may give freely, and still his wealth will be increased. And another man may keep back more than it is right, but he only comes to be in need. If you keep holding back and trying to hoard everything for yourself, eventually you get to the place you'll be in need. Now, this is a principle that God laid down. It's not something I just came up with on my own. This is what God himself said. And if there's anybody who knows how this system works, it's God. He's the one that created the system. And this is what God says. Now, let's go on a little bit further. Principle number two, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And I've already mentioned the scripture here. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians again, 9 and 6. He said, the one who plants a few seeds will have a small harvest, but the one who plants a lot will have a big harvest. And then in verse 8, he says, God can bless you with everything you need, and you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good, all kinds of good things for others. When we give, and you know, when it comes around to offering time or whatever the case might be, missions or different things, when you give, God will give back again. You know, I've seen this happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in our church. Sometimes our church will step out and we'll do something. We'll give an offering to a mission, whatever the case might be. And within a few days, that money comes right back in again. I've seen it happen. Brother Bob goes over to Cuba and helps out in Cuba. And over there, we've helped Brother Bob. I saw it one time. We wrote a check for $1,000. Next day, somebody came, right, don't even belong to church, brought back $1,000 to give to the church. Didn't know that we gave that money. But God knows, and he's the one that keeps record. You know, so we need to all never get to the place where you're trying to hoard everything for yourself. Because when you do that, you plug up the system, and the blessing can't flow. You've got to be a generous person. Now, Proverbs 11:24, we just read this one, but I'm going to give it to you in a little different version. This here works. Here we go. There is one who scatters and yet increases more. And he says, you know, there's one that goes out and gives everywhere. The Bible says, cast your bread upon many waters, or upon the waters, after many days will come back to you on every wave, or something like that. You know, and so there are those that would scatter abroad. You know, in other words, they're generous and they're giving. And he said, yet they increase more. God blesses them back more. He said, but there's a withholder of just due. And he said, he would only come to poverty. If you withhold, if you're an employer or whatever the case might be, you withhold what is just due to their person and things like this, your blessing, your business can't prosper. God is, you know, over and over, the Bible talks about, you know, having just wages and all these different things. God is very concerned about these things being done right. And God said, if it's done right, he said, I'll look after you. You can't look at a person in the scripture that obeyed God's, like Jacob, for instance. Jacob obeyed God's directives in business and tithing and all these different things, and God just continued to bless him. Every time his father-in-law tried to trick him and tried to change his wages, God would turn it around. Whenever his father-in-law changed, God would bless it, and Jacob would get even better. And his father-in-law saw it, and he changed it again, and all of a sudden God poured the blessings from the other side. Because you can't outmaneuver God, you can't outgive God, but when you put your trust in God, God will bless. Now, let's go on. Luke 6:38, we just read that scripture a few minutes ago. If you give to others, this is from the Contemporary English Version. If you give to others, you will be given a full amount in return. It will be packed down, shaken together, and spilling over into your lap. The way that you treat others is the way that you will be treated. Now, we're going to look at some different things here. Some key words in the Bible. Now, some people say, well, you know, I hate going to church when they talk about giving. You know, when you talk about money. And I'm not going to talk about money today, so don't get nervous. But, you know, some people say, well, you know, that's all the church is for. No, there's a principle. Let me explain something. Believing, we know that it's important. Jesus himself said, he said, all things are possible to them that believe. You know, God so loved the world that he, you know, whosoever believes in him would not perish. So the word believe and believing and all these different things is mentioned 272 times in the scripture. But we know that's a very important doctrine, isn't it? That you've got to believe in order to receive. You know, everything, the Bible says, comes from God by faith. And if you try to do it some other way, the Bible considers that sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So believing is very important. 272 times is mentioned in the scripture. Praying. How many believe that praying is important? I've been praying. You talk to somebody who don't even go to church at all. They know what prayer is. They know it's important. That's mentioned 371 times in scripture. Love. I mean, Christianity, there's no other religion, if you want to use the term religion, there's no other religion in the world, system in the world, that preaches and teaches love as much as Christianity. Love is important. It's mentioned 714 times in the scripture. Giving is mentioned 2,162 times in the scripture. So you can see there's, in God's way of thinking, giving is a very important thing. Not because God needs us to give to him. I mean, God's got everything. But God knows the principle that when we give, we open up a channel for him to give back. And until we give, God can't do anything. You can go through the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You find it over and over and over. God would ask Moses to do something, and the minute Moses did it, God would bless them. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, asked for, what do you have? Give me something to work with. That's what he's saying. And they said, we can't find anything. Only a little boy got a little lunch here, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just a little lunch for a little boy. Jesus said, bring it here. He said, that'll do. There was something that they gave. And when they gave it to Jesus, he blessed it and fed 5,000 people with it. Probably more than 5,000. The Bible says 5,000 men beside the women and children. So there's probably 15,000 there for all we know. You know, so when you give something to God and give it by faith, God will bless it back to you again in a greater measure. Now, again, we just mentioned this in the last part of the verse. It is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. Whoa, 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 whoa. Go back. Back, 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 back. There we go. That's where I was supposed to be. Why does God want us to give? There's 7 benefits in our lives, and I'm just going to touch on these quickly. Just read a scripture for each one. First of all, giving makes us more like God. We just talked about, for God so loved the world that he gave. If you want to be like God, be a giver. God gave his only begotten son. Now, secondly, giving draws us closer to God. The Word of God says, where your treasure is, your heart is going to be there as well. So if your treasure is in God's work, your heart is going to be in God's work. If you're, you know, if you love the Lord, you're going to be supporting his work. You're going to be doing all these different things. So it would draw you closer to God once you learn how to give out of a heart that trusts God. Number three, giving is the antidote for materialism. You know, we're living in a society where everybody says, give me, give me, give me. Just, you know, just pour it on, pour it on. Children are like this. We had Hannah with us this week, our granddaughter. And man, I tell you, when you go Christmas shopping, go by yourself. When you got a child with you, everything in the store, Poppy, can I have this? It's not that much money, you know. It's only $20. It's only this, it's only that. I mean, if you listen to it, you come out with nothing beside a cart full of things for the child, you know. But it's just a natural thing in all of us that we love to receive something. We love to get something, you know. But when we learn to give something. Instead of getting something, we learn to give something out. It becomes an antidote to materialism. He says, command those, this is Paul talking to Timothy, he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in their wealth. You know, don't trust in your riches. You know as well as I do, I mean, the stock market can fall tomorrow, things can change overnight, and you could be left with nothing. Don't put your trust in that. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, the income and the bank accounts and the stocks and all these different things and shares. Nothing wrong with all that, but don't put your trust in it. You got to realize that there's a source beyond that, and that source is God. God can bless all these different things and bring it into you, but if all these things collapse, God is still there. And you got to keep your eyes about Him because He's the source. So He says, don't be arrogant about your wealth, He said, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. In other words, to, you know, go overboard in good deeds. To be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. He said, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, or the King James is life eternal. They may take hold of life eternal. So he says, we need to realize that if we start learning to give with a right attitude and a right heart, we learn to give, it will become an antidote for all the craziness is in the world, the materialism and the, you know, I don't know the right word, is a word that they use, commercialism, that's what I'm looking for, you know, of Christmas. Once we learn to give instead of to receive, it would balance out our thinking in that. And he said, once we learn to give, he said, we're laying up a firm foundation in heaven. I was reading a story years ago about a fellow that was dying, and the pastor went to see him, and the pastor, I think it was a new pastor, just came into town, and he went to see him, and he called him Brother Joel or whatever. He said, are you nervous? Are you afraid to die? He said, no. He said, for the past 35 years, he said, I've been sending material up there to build a mansion. And what he meant by that, I've been giving, I've been planting seed, and I believe in God. And he said, everything's ready for me to go. You know, and I believe we ought to think of it in the very same time. When we give to another person, to give to an individual, give to somebody in need, God will bless that back to us again. Now, number four. Giving strengthens our faith. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So when we give, we put our trust in God. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. As we honor God in these ways, God will bless us and our faith will be strengthened. Number five, giving is an investment for eternity. I just told you that little story, but that man, investment for eternity. He said, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous. The scripture, same scripture we read a few minutes ago. Be willing to share. He said, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold after life that is truly life. Number six, giving blesses us in return. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. This is what Proverbs says. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. I've told you this story before. We had in one of our churches in Newfoundland, we had a lady, they owned a nightclub. And they gave their heart to the Lord, and started coming to church and different things. And nobody said anything about the nightclub, you know, it was wrong or anything else. They just knew in their own heart, they said, we got to stop this nightclub thing. And within a few days, they closed it down. They sold everything off, and they turned the building into a senior's home. And actually, my wife used to work in the home for a while. And they turned it into a senior's home. And the lady, she never came from a Christian background. Well, I shouldn't say never came from a Christian background, but not an evangelical church anyway. And but her husband at one time was, you know, grew up in a Christian home and stuff like this and knew different things. So they decided they're going to start serving God. And she was the type of lady that would always help out people. She would, you know, in blueberry season come around, she'd go out and pick blueberries and take it down to some senior down the road and make buns and different things, take the people bread and cookies and all these different things. She was just that type of person. But then she got the seniors home going, and you know what it's like when you get your own business, and especially starting out, your all your time has gone into the business. And it came to the point, anyway, in our Sunday school, we needed a Sunday school leader. And I said to her, I said, would you become the Sunday school superintendent? And she said, I'd never done that before. She said, I wouldn't have the time. And so anyway, we just left it, but I just felt strong to ask her again, so I asked her again. And I said, listen, I said, why don't you just trust God? She said, well, I don't have time. And she started listing it, and I understand. She said, you know, we got this to do, this to do. She said, I work, you know, in the home from whatever it was, 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we got this going on, we got this going on. And, you know, I don't have time to, you know, take some cookies down to Aunt so-and-so. And she said, I'm just tied up so much, I don't have time. And I remember one morning we were closing in prayer, and somebody's closing prayer, and I walked down. I was going out to the back door. We only had one aisle in the church at the time. I was going into the back door, and she's sitting back roughly where John, you know, sitting there. And as I went along, just past, I know now it was the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, ask her again. And so when they finished in prayer and they're going out, and I said to her, I said, listen, I said, I just felt impressed. I said, I ask you once more. I said, I don't want to bug you or anything. I said, but I just felt impressed by God to ask you once more. And I said, and she came up with the same excuses. Like, you know, I said, well, I said, listen, try it for 1 month. I said, and give the time to God. I said, see what God worked. Actually, I preached on something along the same line, but giving to God and He'll bless you back and things. I was in the same type of sermon. And so anyway, she said, okay, she said, I'll try it for 1 month. So she took it on for that 1 month. And after she was in it for, probably the month or so was up anyway, I said to her, I said, how did it work out? I said, you know, she said, you know, it's the strangest thing. She said, myself and she called her husband by name. She said, last night she said, we're sitting home looking at TV. I said, man, something has happened. She said, now we got time. We can sit around the house nighttime. She said, I got the cookies made for so-and-so. I got this done and something else. We got the work done at the home. And she said, I got time to spare. See, and here's the principle. You give God, whatever you give God, He'll give the same thing back to you again. You understand that? So if you want God to bless you in some area, find somebody that needs help in that area and help them. And God honors that and God will bless you back again. And this is what this here is saying, the last part of that verse is, one who gives water will get water. Whatever you need from God, if you're struggling financially, and I've proven this myself dozens and dozens and dozens of times, I know many of you have, you're struggling financially, and you only got $20 left, or $50 left, or $5 left, whatever. Find somebody that needs some help. Go and give it to them. And sometimes, they don't even seem like you need help. Maybe they're doing better than you are. But just plant it somewhere anyway. You need to plant something in order to get a crop back. You understand that? You've got to plant in order to receive a harvest. That's only common sense. So, anyway, you do that, and God will bless it back to you again. He said, it is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. Number 7, giving brings us satisfaction and joy. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words that Jesus Himself said, and this is what we quoted earlier, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, just a couple of thoughts here before we finish up this morning. 5 ways in which giving is good for you, is good for your health. This came from Sympatico 2010. The font is not like I set it up. I had to set up bigger than this, but anyway. First of all, this is interesting because this is on the internet there over Christmas time. And this is from a health perspective. They have a Sympatico Health or something like it's called, and as doctors write in there and different things like this, and somebody wrote in this, some doctor thing, wrote in about giving, how important giving is to our system. Now, this is not from a Christian perspective at all. This is just medical doctors saying this. Giving, they say, may help you live longer. And I just got a few thoughts here. It says, being involved in giving activities seems to give people a longer life, so Stephen Post, a professor of preventative medicine at Stony Brook University in New York. According to a review of research done by the Corporation of National and Community Services in the U.S., people who give their time by volunteering have lower mortality rates than those who do not. Now, this is a doctor saying this. This is not a minister. This is a doctor saying this. He said, we now have indisputable evidence that there is a causal relationship between participating in one's community and in participating in one's community and good health, says Linda Graft, a volunteerism consultant in Dundas, Ontario. So giving may help you live longer. You want to live a long life? Start to give something. Giving makes you happier. Studies show that people who give tend to have lower rates of depression and higher rates of self-reported happiness. People are more likely to feel what's sometimes called a helper's high when they contribute to the lives of those around them, explains Post, who co-authored the book Why Good Things Happen to Good People. He describes one study from Harvard in which people suffering from multiple sclerosis were trained to make compassionate phone calls to other people suffering from the same disease. The callers showed lower depression rates after a period of 6 weeks. When you start helping other people, the blessing will come back to you. Giving may protect you from heart disease. Anybody worry about heart disease? This could be one of the things you could do to help yourself out. The same review done by the CNCS found that the states with the highest rate of volunteerism also had the lowest rates of heart disease. States where people volunteered more, they had lower rates of heart disease. Anyway, I'll go on to the next one. Giving may help protect you from addictions. Giving is really important to the recovery process, says Post. He cites Alcoholics Anonymous as an example of how giving can help people overcome addictive behaviors. People who fulfill the 12th step of the program, which is to help other people with alcoholism, have found about 40% recovery rate after a year. People who don't do it have about a 22% rate. So it can help you get over addictions. And finally, giving makes you feel great no matter what you give. It says people who make emotional attachment to the person receiving your gift tend to experience the greatest health benefits. He said, we now have evidence which indicates that volunteerism generates as much in the way of health benefits as diet and physical activity. This is a doctor saying this. Giving will help you just as much as physical activity. So you don't want to get out and do some physical activity, start to give something. Anyway, they did some medical tests on people that were giving, and they found chemicals and everything all start to change around their bodies to, you know, make them healthier. So giving has got a lot of benefits. And this is why Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. To finish it up, this is all gone small print. I mean, I don't know if you fellows can read it. Let us share faith or gifts with others and please God, such as visiting someone who is sick. Maybe there's somebody who's sick. As I said, we're not talking about money here this morning, even though giving is money as well, but we're just talking about other things today. Visit somebody that's sick, somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's frustrated, somebody that's going through a hard battle. Just visit them and encourage them. Take a meal to an elderly person who is unable to prepare meals. Share a food basket with someone in need. Helping someone else by teaching them a skill, teaching them how to do something. And giving a monetary gift when it's appropriate. All these different things are different ways that we can learn to give. And this is the season for giving, Christmas season. And it's a blessing that God in His Word has given to us to be able to bless others. And as we give to others, God gives back to us again. Again, going back to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, or with the same standards that you use to bless someone else, the same thing will come back to you again. With the same measure that you meet, withal, it shall be measured to you again. And then finally, I have shown you that in all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as we just getting over the Christmas season, don't lose the Christmas spirit. Was it Elvis used to sing, why can't every day be like Christmas? You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. If we would learn to put the principles of God's Word into action in our lives and learn to be a giving people, helping those that are in need, helping those that are discouraged, and as you do that, God will bless you. I can remember, I can tell you story after story after story in my own life. And I know you can too, and I can't tell your story, so I can tell mine. But I know over and over and over how when you give, God, whatever way he does it, God turns it and it comes back to you again in a better amount, a better measure than what you put out there. And I can remember years ago, Pat was working in a hospital in Gander, and she had left that about 2 years before. And there was something going on in the church, and we gave an offering in the church. The last bit, I was on unemployment insurance, and Pat wasn't working at the time. I think we were in Ontario and just moved back to Newfoundland or something. I can't remember. Anyway, they were taking an offering in church, and I had very little money, but I just felt, you know, to give. And we took whatever we had and put it in the plate. It wasn't that much. And the next morning, now she had left, I think it was 4 years she had left work, you know, from that place. And the next morning, went up, checked the mail, and in the post office, took an envelope. Patricia Carter was addressed to, because we weren't married at the time. But we were by the time she, 4 years later, but by the time she was working there, she wasn't. And addressed to her, open up, there was a check, some union decision that they made. They went retroactive way back, and they owed her, it wasn't a big lot, but it was $98 and some odd cents. And that was a lot more than we had when we put into the offering. But, you know, I mean, right out of the blue, 4 years down the road, you know. And but there's time after time after time when you give something, God will give it back to you again. And, you know, we had a cousin one time that was going through a hard time. She was a single mom, and we knew she was struggling, so we took some groceries to her at Christmas time, took some gifts and things like this. And really, I mean, we struggled, and, you know, for to be able to do it ourselves, took it out of our own cupboards and things like this, and took it to her, and nobody knew but beside herself. But I don't know, it was the next day or a couple of days after that, somebody came along with her check and put it in our hand, and more than probably doubled what we put into that. God has got a way that when you give to his work, God will bless you back again. So don't ever get to the place where, you know, you try to hoard everything for yourself and say, well, you know, that person's getting good salary. They don't need a gift. That's got nothing to do with it. Their salary's got nothing to do with it. It's the principle of giving, you know. And a buddy of mine in Newfoundland one time, he said some of his friends were going out, and I told you the story before, I think. Some of his friends are going on a holiday. And he said, the friends are well-to-do, they're going to Florida somewhere for a holiday. And he said, he's praying, he said, just, you know, he's up, he said, by 6 o'clock in the morning, he said, just getting ready to go to work. He said, he's praying, he said, all of a sudden this family came to his mind. And he said, he's praying, he said, he felt the Lord saying, take $20 down and give to him. And he thought, man, that's crazy, take $20 down, that fellow. But, you know, I mean, he's... You know, he's got lots of money. He'd laugh at it, $20, you know. So he said, he got up, he said, he's starting to go to work. He said, and this was about 7:30 in the morning. He said, he's getting ready to go to work. And he said, the Lord impressed me. He said, take $20 down to him. And he said, he knew him, you know, but he said, he felt embarrassed to take $20. I was like, you know, somebody's got lots of money, and I just want to help you out. Here's $20. You know, it was embarrassing. And he said, he felt embarrassed to do it. He said, the Lord kept impressing him, take $20 down to him. So he said, well, worst thing to do, he said, is just say you don't need it. And he said, he went up to his driveway, and he said, actually, the guy, he said, he was just packing up his car, he said, just getting ready to leave. And he went over to him, he said, listen, he said, and he put his hand in his pocket, took it to it. He said, I feel embarrassed to do this. He said, but God told me, he said, give you $20. But he said, I don't need $20. He said, I know. He said, but God told me to give it to you. You know? And, so he said he went on to work, and Buddy was, you know, fixing his car, or, you know, and everything else. And his buddy pulled out his driveway. He had a flat tire. He went down to the shop, and it cost him $19.99 or something to get the tire fixed, you know. And so anyway, he said, now the guy who gave him didn't know anything about this. Buddy was gone for a couple weeks. When he came back, he told him the story. And he said, but, you know, he said when I pulled out, he said, I thought to myself, how foolish is that? He said, give me $20. He said, we had the money. He said, I had money in my pocket, you know, for the trip and everything else. He said, I had money for the boat, you know, going across from Newfoundland and stuff. He said, I had everything down to the penny. He said, but I need it. But he didn't have the $20 that he needed. You know, now he could have had, I'm sure, credit cards and everything else. But God just told him. And the guy the guy's name was Dave that gave the money. Dave told me, he said, you know, he said, I took that money, he said, and gave it to him. And he said, that was the last $20 he said, that I had. He said, until payday. You know, I mean, he wasn't down and out, but I mean, you know, until payday. He said, I never had any more money. He said, that was the last $20. But he said, I knew what God said. He said, give him that money. And he said, I gave him the money. And he said, and I don't know what it was that happened anyway, but something happened, and I think it was over $1,000 came back into him. You know, that from unexpected, totally not have any idea that was coming to him. You know, but you see, and I honestly believe that when we do what God tells us to do, no matter how foolish it might be, somebody may say to you, give some money to, you know, Bob Winters. Bob Winters, man, he's got more money than, you know. But as you know, as we are obedient in that, right? Because God is not looking at what we have. Remember what Jesus said when he saw the woman with the widow's mite? He said, all the others, he said, they gave what they had, from what they had. He wasn't impressed by that at all. He said, but she gave everything. She had nothing left over. That's what God looks at. He's not looking at how much you're giving. He's looking at how much is left over after you give. You know? And now, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying you've got to drain your bank accounts and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. God is not saying that. But when God speaks to you to do something, don't battle it over for 2 or 3 weeks and try to figure it out. Just do it. And just let the chips fall where they may. And I guarantee you, if you do it with the right attitude and the right spirit and say, God, I'm doing it to trust you, I just want to be obedient, God will bless you back more than you can contain. That's what the Word of God says. He said, bring all your tithe into the storage. God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You won't be able to contain it. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, if government in Canada said that, I'd try it. But I'm going to have much more when God says it. You know, the source of everything.
Christ is Son, and now We give thanks to you, Lord.